So, the question came from the front. If you were to design a card for someone who was going through a really hard time, what would it look like? And that was a question asked at a, I think it was a Spring Harvest conference a long time ago. And it was followed by the often awkward, now get into a group of three with people that you've no idea who they are and discuss the answer. Now, the two ladies I joined were quite a little bit older than I was. It's a long time ago. And they wanted to talk about cuddly teddies with plasters on. And I forget the details, but cuddly teddies was definitely the theme. But being in my mid-20s, I was working as a junior doctor. I was exhausted. I was carrying a whole heap of emotional luggage. That wasn't really where I was at. Because my design was of a blank card with a speech bubble which contained the words, shout at him, he can take it. Which rather shocked my two new friends who carried on talking about the cuddly teddies. And I think I went and sat in a corner by myself. But it can be challenging and uncomfortable knowing how to be real with God. How to communicate honestly our pain or our grief or our anger or our frustration. There's the cultural thing, stiff upper lip. Men don't cry. There's perhaps a sense of, you can't say that sort of thing to God. And sometimes there's the silent treatment. We shut God out of the pain and the hurt. Because actually, if we shut out God, we also shut out our own pain and we don't have to deal with it. And then COVID-19 happened and is still happening. And that's the whole ball game of pain, of grief, of unanswered prayer. And our response, how should we respond, both as a church, as a community, and as an individual? And so I wanted to spend a few minutes looking at the subject of lament, at what it is, why it's important, and to use the psalm we've just read, Psalm 13, as an example of that, how we can lament and how it can help us find our way through the current situation. So first of all, what's lament? Well, the dictionary definition is of a loud cry or a howl, a passionate expression of grief. But the biblical application is far more than just an expression of sorrow. Mark Vroegkop, the author of Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, defines lament as a prayer in pain that leads to trust. A prayer in pain that leads to trust. And actually, lament is a pathway that leads to hope and praise and restoration. Lament is about being honest, really honest, with God. Looking at something which is terrible or feels unfair and saying so. Bringing our grief and our anger or our protest. And the Archbishop of Canterbury said the last, that I'm taking protest to God, so it must be okay if he said so. And of asking those questions, God, where are you in this situation? And if you love me, why is this happening? Well, a third of the Psalms, and remember the Psalms are prayers to God. They're from people to God. Are psalms of lament. And often when we're looking at these psalms, we will pick up the verses of faith, those last two verses in the psalm that we read, but we'll ignore the angry or the questioning verses, the violent verses, the bits that don't quite fit in and we feel uncomfortable with. And we see lament happening in the book of Lamentations and Job. And then we see it happening with Jesus as he wept at the graveside of his friend, as he looked at Jerusalem, and as he protested against injustice and cruelty, as he contemplated his own death, and as he prayed Psalm 22 on the cross. So why lament? And why now? Why should it be part of our Christian response? Well, I don't think that there's anybody in the world who's been left unaffected by COVID. Whether it's personal loss associated with the lockdown, of loneliness and lost celebrations, whether it's loss of health and well-being, whether it's grief and bereavement, whether it's lost opportunities, lost education. I think of children that I know who've lost out on school, or financial pressures or unemployment, whether it's the grief of watching suffering and feeling helpless, or a deep sense of fear as we look to the future. There's as we look outwards, with COVID overwhelming health and financial structures across the world. We've seen so much about racism and the impact of that. There's whisperings and there's evidence of social unrest and rising international tensions. We've seen it as a situation where the poor have become poorer, the disadvantaged have become more disadvantaged. And perhaps our initial response is always to do, isn't it? I'll do something, I'll make it better. And that's absolutely vital. But it's only part of our response. Tom Wright, in the book God and the Pandemic, talks about the church's initial response being to lament, to admit that there aren't any easy answers, and to take our place alongside those who mourn and those who are in pain. And how can we not do that when we see what is happening and we try and process it? I was encouraged as I was looking at Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was a man who did things. He rebuilt a wall. He was a great leader. He's somebody I find really inspirational. But right at the beginning of the book of Nehemiah, we read this. I was in the citadel of Susa, and Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. And they said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. What did he do? Go and build the wall straight away? No. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I think there's a real sense of God speaking to the church today about lament, about us learning how to lament. If you look on the internet, lament sermon, not that this is a picked up sermon, but you look up lament, Christian, lament church, there's just so much teaching and so much work that's been done. And both in Keswick and New Wine, they're themes that get picked up through the talks and through the seminars. So I think God is saying something to us as church. So if we looked at the what, we've looked at the why, let's look at the how. If lament is about being honest, ruthlessly honest about our pain, and if it is important, and if it's more than just about being upset or let's remember our definition of prayer, a prayer in pain that leads to trust, then how do we do that? And I wanted to spend just a few minutes looking at Psalm 13 as an example of that. A third of the Psalms are about lament for lots of different reasons. And I've chosen Psalm 13 partially because it's short, but also because it's dealing with an issue that God might has forgotten us, that God hasn't listened. And I thought perhaps it might be helpful at this time. Pretty much all of the Psalms of Lament follow a pattern, and a pattern that I suggest we can use in our own lamenting. First of all, there's an address to God. Then there's a complaint. Then there's a request. And then in all, apart from about one, it moves to an expression of trust and praise. So first, the address to God, the complaint. In some psalms, the address to God is clearer. In Psalm 77, for example, it says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. But Psalm 13, David combines his address and his complaint together in four questions. Four how long questions. Will you forget me? How long will you hide your face? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Perhaps we could read for enemy COVID at the moment. But it's a picture of abandonment, of being forgotten and ignored by God, and done so in a way that seems deliberate. The Message version of hiding your face reads, how long will you show me the back of your head? It's a sense that God is walking past and deliberately ignoring David. And that David being forgotten is causing him huge amounts of mental turmoil and endless sorrow. And if you think when a relationship of any kind breaks down, those words of, have you forgotten me or are you ignoring me? They're words of really deep honesty and pain, aren't they? It's when you stop pretending that everything is okay. So there's the address and the complaint, and then there's the ask. And David is bold in his request. He says, look on me and answer, Lord, my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. Look at me and answer me. He's calling out to the God who he feels has abandoned him to hear him. And we hear those words echoed in other psalms. In Psalm 86, the writer prays, hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. In Psalm 28, to you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear on me. And then finally, he moves to an expression of trust and praise. Because lament is a journey towards trust and faith. And here, as in so many of the other Psalms, we see David intentionally choosing to look to God. There is a really clear move to God-centered worship as he says that those two small words, but I. And we see those words in many other psalms. In Psalm 31, but I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. And in Psalm 13, we have three affirmations of trust. It says, I trust in your unfailing love, the faithful, steadfast, and unchanging love of God. He chooses to trust and he chooses to allow his heart to rejoice in the salvation and the rescue of God. And he will sing the Lord's praises, for he has been good to me. He's trusting in God's goodness. And there's a sense within these verses of looking back in order to be able to look forward. and of basing his confidence for the now and for the future on the evidence of the past. On the evidence not necessarily of things even in his own life, but on the whole history of God's relationship with the Israelites. Because the praise hasn't yet happened, God hasn't yet turned up. But David anticipates a praise that hasn't arrived. And actually, he doesn't know when it will arrive. He doesn't know when he's going to feel that God's there. It's a little bit like believing that the sun is still there, even when it's obscured by the cloud. And it is, isn't it? The cloud is there, but the sun is still behind it. And we trust that it's there. So lament leads to trust. But the path isn't always straightforward. There are times it's easier to move to that place of faith. But there are others when we will trust and we will praise through gritted teeth because it's intentional. And as we look at the situation around us with COVID, not just in our own lives and our own families and communities and in our own country, but across the world, lament can be a pathway through the messy wilderness of pain that we see, that we experience, that we see other people experience, and to which we haven't got any easy answers. Justin Welby talks about lament, and he says, these are the prayers that go straight to the heart of God. These are the prayers that Jesus collects in his arms and absorbs, just as he absorbed all sorrow on the cross. And that as we make those prayers, we are enveloped afresh with Jesus' love. These are prayers that go straight to the heart of God.